Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good to see you here today. We've had two really good services, and we're glad that you've joined us here for the third service this morning. We're in this series with the story. It's hard to imagine that we're actually almost halfway through. It just seemed like yesterday that we started this, and today we're going to get in this idea about hearing God talking to the prophets. I always silence that before church starts. Some calls you take and some you send a voicemail. I'm sorry, just a second. Hello? What do you think I'm doing on Sunday morning at 11:15? No, I'm in church, honey. I'll call you later, okay? I'll call you after. What? Yeah, she's here. Why didn't you call her cell phone? Not mine. What? All right, I'll tell her. All right, thanks for the embarrassment. I'll call you later. All right, bye. I don't know where Arlene is. Sarah said that she's got something on Pinterest that she wants you to see. So, I'm sorry, I usually silence that before church starts, all right? Let me use that actually as a segue into what we're going to talk about today. You know, here's the thing. The prophets are going to speak to the kings, and they're going to share God's word. Will they answer the people? Will they respond to God? Or will they let it go to voicemail? You know, it's actually a question that we all have to face every day. You know, God says something, God sends us a message through his word, through his spirit, through other people, and we have to make the choice of whether or not we're going to hear that and respond to it appropriately, or if we're just going to, you know, let it go to voicemail. We're going to ignore it. You know, we talked to you last week about how the Bible is arranged topically rather than chronologically. And last week, remember, I told you that a lot of times this is the part of the story where a lot of people jump off and never get back on. Okay, I mean, they go through Abraham and Isaac and all this kind of stuff and all the kings, King David and everything. And then when the kingdom is divided and then you've got Jeroboam and Rehoboam and you got the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes and you got Israel and Judah and different kings coming in and out of the story, a lot of people just jump off and never get back on. They enter what I'd like to refer to as the black hole of Bible study at this point. But listen, folks, the Old Testament books, even though they're arranged as history, poetry, and prophecy, even though it's easy to get the story jumbled up and confused, here's what I want you to see today. God brings the prophets, okay, to speak to his people at this particular time. In other words, if you take all of the minor prophets, major prophets, and you bring them, you can interject them into this story and in the story that's going to come. This was the time that the prophets spoke for God to the people. That's why I actually made this up for you this week. It's a timeline. Okay, of the story. It's actually 2 pages. I didn't put one in all your bulletins, but there's a whole stack of them back there on the Welcome Center. And if you're into such things, you can pick one of these up. And what I wanted you to see with the timeline is I wanted you to see that the northern tribes of Israel, the southern tribes of Judah, and the kings and the prophets that spoke into those particular times was all parallel. Okay? It was all at a parallel time in church history. And you can pick one of those up and put it in your story. We'll refer to that later on as we go through other chapters of the story as well. But last week when we left the story, the nation had split into 2 kingdoms. You got the lower story kind of message between the conflict of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And then you have the upper story where God was achieving his purpose. And when you talk about the upper story and God achieving his purpose, there's always a fundamental question that comes up. Why did he split the nation? Why did he split the nation into the 10 northern tribes made up Israel and the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and that made Judah? Why did he do that? Well, let me attempt to answer that this morning. You know, first reason I think is that God divided the nation because his people were sending a wrong message. If you remember back a few weeks ago, we were talking about that they wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. And God said, okay, I'll give you a king. I'll let you be about like everybody else. But he wanted his nation, his people, to show the nations around them how good God is, how great God is, what God had done for them. And they've just stopped doing it. God wanted his people to be blessed by him so that others would be drawn to their God. They stopped doing it. The nation rebelled from God. They become complacent in devotion, disobedient to God's commands, and they begin to worship pagan gods. In their disobedience, God's people were sending a wrong message both to themselves and to their children and subsequent generations, and also to the surrounding nations. Let me give you an illustration that might help you. Now, everybody knows Claire Lowell. Claire is our director of small groups here. She's one of the, you know, she's just a great person. Wonderful person. She's over there teaching right now a parallel class with the story to a whole group of people. And she was here first service, and I said this about her. I said, imagine if you will, Claire, she's here this morning. Doesn't she look pretty? You know, let's just imagine she's sitting here. Doesn't she look nice? Yes, she looks nice. And isn't she a great teacher? She's a good teacher and all this. Imagine if you got up tomorrow morning and you read in the Altoona Mirror on the front page, local director of small groups arrested for multiple bank robberies. Actually, Don McClune asked me after second service, he said, John, why didn't you use me as that illustration? And I said, Don, it wouldn't have been that great of a stretch for you, okay? But for Claire, it would have. And imagine that. That's kind of what was going on here. You know, on the one hand, they were God's people. They were God's nation. They built the temple. They had all of these things. God was with them. God was protecting them. God had helped them overcome. God had helped them to conquer. God had done so much, and they just forgot about God. A matter of fact, what they were doing was living the exact opposite as how God had called them to live. There's a second reason. I think he divided the nation so that he could purify the message regarding his own character. God's character was so very important, and he needed the people to know that his character was good, his character was loving, his character was forgiving, that he was God, and that he would give them all the strength they needed to accomplish so very, very much. So he sent 9 prophets to 19 kings over a period of 208 years to the northern kingdom. Think about that. 9 prophets to 19 kings over a period of 208 years. God wanted the people to know that he cared. Matter of fact, I got a little way here. I want to give you an illustration. This was kind of it, okay? The prophets are like, hey, God's got something he wants to say to you. Everybody gather around. Where's Greg? Don't you love this, Greg? I'd let you use this if you're going to be around a few more weeks. God's prophets say, hey, I've got a word from God. God spoke to me, asked me to tell you. Gather around. I'm going to tell you what God has to say. The prophets were like God's bullhorn that he used to get the attention of the people. 9 prophets, 19 kings over a period of 208 years. Think about that, 208 years. Not a decade, but more than almost 21 decades. God's word, straight from his heart, shared by the prophets, all with one purpose in mind. To tell them the heart of God. To tell the people the character of God. You know why? Because they weren't doing it. The people in the surrounding nations were getting a false impression of who this God was. Therefore, he sent all of these prophets over a period of 208 years to all of these kings. And you ever thought about this for a moment? I mean, which of the prophets were really successful? Only one. Remember who it was? It was Jonah. didn't even prophesy to God's people. He prophesied to the Ninevites, and they repented. He was the only one that had any measure of success at all. It was about, as a matter of fact, it was during this time that we see a couple of prophets. I want to use as examples. We got Elijah, we got Hosea. Remember Elijah? I mean, Elijah, man, was just awesome. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, in the book of James, it says that you and I are just like Elijah. Here, I'm going to tell you why. Elijah had some of the most tremendous highs and also some of the lowest lows in service to God. You remember the story, if you read the chapter 15 of the story this week, you'll remember that Elijah was the one that came forward and he proposed a test to prove who was the one true God. He said, said Ahab, you get your 450 prophets of Baal, you get your 400 prophets of Asherah, you bring them to Mount Carmel and we're going to have a test. We're going to see whose God is the real God. We're going to have an altar. We're going to have a sacrifice. We're going to put the sacrifice on the altar, but we're not going to put any fire. And we're going to pray to our gods. And we'll see which is the real God. The people said, that's great. Let's do that. So it says that the prophets of Baal, they built their altar, they put their they cut the sacrifice up in pieces, they put it on the altar, and it says early in the morning they begin to pray. And they prayed to their god Baal, and they asked their god Baal to come bring fire and consume the altar, but nothing happened. Then they walked around, they marched around, they danced, they paraded, they talked louder, and it says about noon, nothing had happened, and Elijah spoke up, and it's funny because Elijah was kind of the comic prophet in some ways. He said, hey, maybe your God's not home. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's doing something else. Maybe you need to speak louder. So they raised their voices, and nothing happened. And finally, it came to Elijah's turn. And it said Elijah did something really interesting. He did something first before he put the sacrifice on the altar. You know what it was? It says he rebuilt the altar. The altar of God was in shambles, and it said that he got 12 stones representing each tribe of Israel, and he brought the stones together, and he made this altar, and he put a trench around the altar, and he laid the animal on the 12 stones, and then he prayed, and this was his prayer. If you read the story, you'll remember this. This was his prayer. He looked toward heaven, and he said, God, may all of these people here know that you are the one true God. He barely got those words out of his mouth as a prayer when fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice on the altar, consumed all of the water. They'd poured water three times on the altar, on the sacrifice, filled the trench around the altar, and it consumed all of that. And then it says the people said, your God is the one true God. And Elijah said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Right? I mean, here you go, folks. You got this guy comes out and he speaks the word of God. The other one is Hosea, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. Did you read it? Hosea is told by God to take a wife. Her name was Gomer. Gomer was an interesting gal. She was a prostitute. I wouldn't have chosen her because of her name. But God said, choose her not only in spite of her name, but also in spite of her egregious sins. Gomer brought her and married her and loved her. But she wouldn't stop. She had run away for long periods of time and go out and prostitute herself. And God always told Hosea to love her. Bring her back. You see, God told Hosea to do that because that wife who was a prostitute was kind of like his nation, his people. Matter of fact, from his bullhorn, he says this in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. You know, folks, when I read that, think about that. If your existence, if my existence, if my spirituality would be could be described as there's no faithfulness. I'm always doing something else. I'm never faithful to God. Never reach out to Him. Never ask for His opinion. Never ask for His help. Never pray to Him for strength. That there's no faithfulness in my life or your life at all. What a terrible place to be. There is no love. I mean, can you imagine such a place? I mean, we are so fortunate to be in a place where we experience love and affection regularly. And if you don't, I wish that you would and could. I don't want to be up in a place where there's never any affection, never any love, never any devotion. There's no acknowledgement of God in the land. I must tell you, when I read this, I'm thinking, you know what? That seems to describe then, but it can describe now. How people are just getting so far away from even acknowledging the existence of God. But the point is that God keeps coming back. And God keeps saying to His people over and over and over again, I still love you. Matter of fact, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, in the story this week, it says, there, return Israel to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Think about this, folks. He's saying there that we could say to Him, God, forgive us for all of our sins and receive us graciously so that our lips can speak of your goodness. You see, folks, that is the definition of what a believer is, of what someone who is in touch with God, their Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Does their lips speak of the goodness of God? You see, in the prophet's day, in the time when all of the kings, King Ahab and his wonderful bride Jezebel, you know, when all of these prophets, when Elijah and Elisha and Amos and Nahum and you have Hosea, all these prophets, when they were speaking about the goodness of God with their lips to a group of people who had nothing good to say about God. So the point is, folks, is that God is still speaking today. It's amazing to me that when you have the story of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets who had the greatest victories on Mount Carmel, the very next day, Jezebel says, I'm going to get you, and he runs into the wilderness and wants to die. God comes and feeds him. God comes and puts him to sleep, then takes him back, and then he commissions Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, to be his successor. And Elisha sees Elijah taken to heaven in a chariot. And because he sees this, he gets a double portion of the prophet's spirit. And he continues on the path of speaking the words of God with the bullhorn of the prophet. With a double spirit. You see, I think that's what he's describing here. That we may offer the fruit of our lips. May we be so in touch with the goodness of God that we can share that goodness with others. You see, that's what wasn't happening in the story this week. But as that story unfolds from Abraham up until now, we see over and over and over again that progressively Israel stops being fully devoted to God. They become complacent, they become disobedient, they become rebellious, and they no longer show God's plan to the surrounding nations. They no longer experience in their own life the goodness of God, and they don't speak of the goodness of God to others. And why is that? I was thinking about this the other day. I was watching the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Do I see that? A couple of you? I remember when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I loved baseball. I could recite to you every player and the stats of every player on my favorite team. And I watched it every time it was on, from the first pitch till the last out. I was glued to the television. Last week during the Major League Baseball All-Star game, I watched about 2 minutes, and then I was done. And I began to wonder, I thought, you know, John, what happened to you? And then I realized, you know, baseball hasn't changed. That's the thing they make about baseball, that it's the purity of the game is still there. What changed wasn't baseball. What changed was me. And I think that happens. That's what we see here in this part of the story. The goodness and the graciousness of God had long been forgotten. And it had been replaced by the complacency and the disobedience of an unthankful people. And what you and I have to determine, what you and I have to revamp, what you and I have to accomplish is to keep that burning desire to love God and to speak of His goodness all the days of our lives. Just think about it, folks. At the end of the day, God doesn't have to work with all the 12 tribes of Israel to accomplish His upper story plan to bring the Messiah into the world. All He really needed was Judah, who was the ancestors of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He just needs to keep His word to Abraham and to David to use their offspring to bring the Messiah to make Him come. So He didn't need the 10 tribes, and guess what? He doesn't need us either, but He wants us. That's why He sends these 9 prophets to all these kings over 208 years because He wants them to be a part of this awesome message. Hosea's relationship with Gomer mirrored God's relationship with Israel. God and Israel have a covenant, and Israel is unfaithful to God, serving pagan gods. For years, God has been blessing and funding Israel, and they strayed. They never acknowledged that it was God who was blessing them and funding them, their expansion and their endeavors. But God keeps coming back and saying, I still love you. And you know what's amazing, folks? God feels the same way about all of us here today. That even though we blow it, even though that we deny Him, even though that we do all these things, God still says, I love you. I want to use you. To speak words from your lips as words that the prophet spoke, that I've been in touch with God, and our God is a good God. Here's the point, folks. God still speaks today. But the point is, will we listen? Or will we ignore His message? I mean, how many of you do this? I do this all the time on my cell phone. You know, you look and you're like, you see who it is, you think, let him leave a message. We do that with God, don't we? I called a friend of mine here one day, and this was his answer machine. His answer machine was, hello, we might not be home, or maybe we see that it's you, and we refuse to answer. Either way, leave a message. Some of you are leaving that message for God. And the point is simply this, folks. God still speaks. He speaks through His Word, the Bible. He's given us His Holy Spirit to convict us, to comfort us, to illuminate His word for us, to help us to understand it and to live lives of faithfulness to Him. So here's the point. What is God saying to you today? What is God saying to me today? Is He telling you to stop doing something? Is He telling you to do something? Is He telling you to stop going somewhere? Or is He telling you to go somewhere else? Is He telling you to start something or stop something, to join something, to give up, to charge on? What's God's word for you? If God is using a bullhorn with His word, with His spirit, what is He saying to you today? Because you know He's talking to you. But the point is will you listen? Or will you ignore His call? Here's what I want to do. I just want to take a minute, and I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God to be everything that you need Him to be so that you can be everything that He wants you to be for Him. I'm sorry. I got to take this. Hello, this is John. Yeah, they're right here. It's God. He wants to talk to you. Let's pray. God, you're such a good God. You spoke in the beginning. You continue to speak today. You spoke to through the message of the prophets to a rebellious and discontent generation. And God, you speak to us today. In many ways, Lord, we're just like them, doing our own thing, not paying attention any longer to our first love. Our desire, Lord, to have you above everything else has waned. And there's sometimes we want everything else except you. And God, I pray today that we will hear, the words of Hosea as he speaks of his love to his bride. That his love does not depend on her disobedience, but that he just loves her. And God, may we know that today you love us just like that. Father, may we never ignore your call, your word. Father, may we never just pass you off and ask you to leave a message. But Father, when you speak, whether it's through your word, whether it's through your spirit living inside of us, I pray, Lord, that we would listen and learn and apply and come back, Lord, and love you like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, 4, Christ.com.